Well, Paul helps us understand this better in the words he writes to the Philippians. If you have your Bibles and want to flip over to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we pick up in his letter, he writes, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." What a great text to live by, right? To think about having the same heart and mind and attitude as Christ. Paul begins by reminding us that we are all united in Christ, that we all have received the same grace and forgiveness, and we all live by grace. And since we are covered by God's grace, Christ is all that matters. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Christ is all that matters. And since we are united in Christ, we share that same spirit, the same ruach, the breath that God breathed into us, that we are connected to one another as one body, sharing the same breath and working towards the purposes of God's kingdom. It's what we hold together as Christians. But sometimes we get confused about what unity means. And we think that unity must look like uniformity, where we all have to think alike and look alike and act alike and do everything the exact same. But that's not the kind of unity that God shares with us in Scripture. It doesn't mean that we all think the same and look the same or vote the same, but it means that we are driven by the same mission, working towards the purposes of God's kingdom, driven by the heart of God. Second, Paul invites us to step into a place of humility. And I kind of introduced this idea a couple of weeks ago where I said humility isn't puffing ourselves up full of pride. It isn't self-deprecating either. Humility is a true understanding of who we are in relation to God. It's that understanding of, and thinking about not just what we think of ourselves, but what does God think of our life? And not just our fears or what somebody has told us to guilt us into doing something, but what does God say in Scripture about who I am? When we understand who we are and the love that God has for us, we then in turn can turn that love and show that same kind of love and understanding and compassion to others that we have received. Third, Paul encourages us to look to the interests of others, he says. Now, Cain, he tried to deflect responsibility. Am I my brother's keeper? Is it my responsibility to watch out for him, to watch out for his interests? Well, Paul says, yes. The truth is, we are supposed to look out for each other. Because I don't know if you realize this, we are responsible to and for one another. We are responsible to and for one another. We are responsible to one another. We call that being accountable, right? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It means there's going to be a little friction in that relationship, right? There's going to be somebody that we invite into our lives to speak those hard truths and to hold us accountable. We all need relationships that bring out our best in our life, relationships that speak into our life and hold us accountable to our goals. Now, I'm not talking about that neighbor who's always complaining or has an opinion about everything. I'm not talking about that aunt or maybe your dad who always told you how you're doing things wrong and how when he was your age, he would have done things better, he would have done it differently. No, that's not accountability. You can't go around holding strangers accountable for things they never asked you to hold them accountable to. I think we could use that lesson today, right? I can't walk up to you and you know, hold you accountable for something that you never really opened up your life and invited me to. We call that judgment, not accountability. But true accountability is inviting somebody into our lives. And I think the problem with that kind of accountability and judgment is that often that's how the church is portrayed in society, isn't it? Christians are known for what they're against. They're known for speaking against people and judging people versus sharing the love and compassion that we have received ourselves. Or maybe they've been known as hypocrites, right? We're trying to hold somebody else accountable to something that we don't even hold ourselves accountable for. But instead, we need relationships in our life that help bring out our best, because we are responsible to one another, and we are responsible for one another. Scripture calls this bearing with one another. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 17 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have, just as the Lord has forgiven you." You see, we have a duty to look after one another. But it goes beyond just putting up with one another or being patient and tolerating someone else. It means we actually help carry the load. When one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. We all experience it. Therefore, we cannot ignore the plight of someone else just because it isn't a burden that we personally experience. So what can we do to ease the suffering of someone else? What tools has God given us to respond with? Well, last week I was driving home and I noticed there was someone's truck that had broken down at an intersection. And there was another vehicle that was just pulling away and I was going in the other direction. So I just kind of kept going. But it didn't take long before I was convicted and I realized I've got toe straps right behind me. And I quickly pulled over and turned around and just felt this conviction that if you have the tool to fix the situation, then help. And so I was able to pull that person out of the intersection into a safer location. Proverbs 3:27, I know this is a favorite of Pastor Doyle's, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act." What a great reminder. Deuteronomy 27:19 says, "Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Then all the people shall say, Amen." And if you ever wondered if God cared about justice, just do a search on the Bible app of the word justice and see how many passages come up. Does God care about the plight of others? Of course he does. Because when one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. And when one part of humanity suffers, we all experience it. We all suffer because we share that same spirit living in us. This weekend, we remember someone who understood what it meant to be human and to be humane. We honor Martin Luther King Jr. not when we have a sale so that we can buy more stuff that we don't really need, but when we stop to remember the dream. Martin Luther King Jr. often talked about his dream for our nation and for the world. And on August 28, 1963, he proudly proclaimed that dream with others. I'm just going to share excerpts from his speech. And there's this moment where he says, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the hills of Red Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I will go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair the stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. And with this faith, we'll be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that one day we will be free. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom to reign, and when we let it reign from every village and from every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last." His hope, his faith was grounded in the scriptures and his understanding of God. He drew his courage and his strength from his deep faith. It wasn't just his dream. It was a dream that comes from the heart of God for all humanity. Don't worry about it. It's just mood music as I close my sermon. That's my cue, Pastor Gordon. Wrap up the message. But you know something? His dream can't be accomplished alone, can it? In fact, we're still working towards that dream. And so I ask you today, what is your dream? What is your dream? Has God given you a dream for a better future? Has God been stirring your heart and giving your heart, giving an attention to the things that stir his? Has he given you a heart for the things that burden his? Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quoted from Joel, saying, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and in the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I believe God continues to give us dreams today. And I believe that we can help one another live into these God-given dreams. We all have a part in the dream that God gave Martin Luther King Jr. We all have a part in the dream of bringing healing to this nation. And I believe that we can help one another live into the dreams that God has for us all. You see, we are a brother and sister's keeper. We are responsible, accountable to and for one another. We belong to each other and can carry each other's burdens, for we are one body, sewn together by one spirit, alive and at work and inspiring dreams in us all today. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the work of all those who have gone before us, from those who put the scriptures down so that we can read them and learn and grow from them, from our forefathers who had a dream and a vision for this nation, for the men and women who dedicated their lives so that we all may be free, and for those who continue to serve and to protect and to fight against the injustices and all that we see and all that still needs to be done today. We give you thanks. God, we thank you for your spirit that is alive and at work in the world today. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would inspire us with your dreams and your visions, that you would help us to carry one another's burdens so that we truly can make your joy complete. So God, we pray for our nation, we pray for our community, we pray for our own lives. May your Holy Spirit continue to move in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.